Speaking of raising money.
So is that a jar?
Look, I didn't fart in it. I was driven mad by how much money this woman was making off these jars, right? Uh-huh.
Go on.
And I said, there's got to be some money in this for the old trillionaire mindset, boys.
Uh-huh.
And what happens on every podcast that we do?
There's a lot of giggling and
fun. No. You always have to burp.
Oh.
And I figured...
Shares were just getting hammered this morning.
Every day they're pounding it.
Bitcoin.
I'm not fucking leaving.
You got your pens all set up there?
Shut up, Ben.
I don't know why I have a Sharpie on here.
I have a Sharpie, too.
I was never a kid who huffed. Remember that was like a thing? They taught us in the drug classes all about inhalants.
Yeah, because Nancy Reagan was like, just say no.
Just, excuse me one second. Just say no. Whoa.
Just say no.
Oh, man. So on the car ride over here, remember I told you that I had something to tell you about? That was going
to
be a funny surprise.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not that funny.
You little games with me in the car.
It was actually really painful. So there's something, this is, it's funny because it involves the butt, but, with one T, it is very painful. So last night I was awoken, as I have been several times over the last year, with, severe stabbing ass pain.
What?
And it's a real thing. It's called, because
you have a visitor?
What does that mean? Like an actual person? Are you making a joke about me getting...
Well, what was stabbing your ass?
Well, okay, so a little bit of background. I don't know when it was, but a year ago, 2 years ago, I was awoken in the middle of the night with like the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
This is like the start of one of those Halloween songs. I was awoken in the middle of the night
with by a severe ass pain. His ass hurts. His ass hurts. His ass hurts. This wasn't a painful ass. That's the monster match.
Yeah.
But I legitimately was laying in bed, like writhing around, sweating.
Was it gas?
No, it wasn't gas. I was delirious because it was so painful. I thought that I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't. And it then all of a sudden, like a miracle, it just went away. But obviously, I was Googling I just Googled like severe anal pain. And and it was revealed to me, it is a thing called proctalgia fugax. And
you got proctalgia fugax?
Fugax. It is.
What'd you fucking call me?
It's from healthline.com. Proctalgia fugax is anal pain that doesn't have a specific cause. This pain is usually caught. It's so funny. It says that doesn't have a specific cause, but then the next sentence is it is usually caused by intense muscle spasms in or around the canal of the anus.
Damn.
Anyone can experience proctalgia fugax, but it doesn't usually affect anyone prior to the start of puberty. And the symptoms are muscle spasms in or around the lower rectum area or around the canal of the anus. And it's pain that happens suddenly and usually without warning. It lasts for only a few seconds only, but it can last up to 30 minutes. These episodes may be severe enough to keep you home from work. They may limit your other activities until the episode is
Ben's
over.
Ben's not staying.
People don't have any anal pain between spasms. Thank God.
So you're in between a spasm right now.
Yeah. And so this is pertinent to me. The pain or spasms that occur at night may be painful enough to wake you from sleep. I when I was experiencing it before and I was like sweating and like, how do I make this stop? I went on Reddit like, months ago when it was happening at 2 in the morning, And it felt so good because other people were saying, this is, I've given birth before and this is more painful than that.
No
it
way.
Is, yeah, it's legitimately so, it's it wakes you from your sleep.
And it's just not related to anything?
It's just a random, your ass just goes,
yeah, why do some people get it?
I don't know. They don't know.
I'm never getting my ass stabbed.
We need to raise money to fund research studies. But I did find, either I figured this out on my own, I can't remember, or I saw, but there is a yoga position that alleviates it immediately, which is the cat-cow position.
Oh, I love that. Where you get on, baby. Moo hiss.
Is that where you get on all fours and like arch your back?
And you go, moo
hiss.
Moo.
Keep going.
Cow, cat, cow.
Cat. Oh, yeah, because the cat, you arch your back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why they call it that.
And in some yoga classes, they have you.
Moo and hiss.
When you do the cow, you go, moo.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, I just did the moo one, and I bent my back like this, and like, I guess it's stretching your ass muscles, and it works like a charm. So I was awoken. And then I was laying there in pain and I thought, oh, I know exactly what to do. So I got on my bed. It'd be funny to see, like, if I had a nanny cam or something, me just waking up and then immediately getting on all fours and, like, presenting myself to a ghost and then being like, whew, that's over, and then going back to bed. So,
your spooky little song.
Yeah. He hurt his ass. Ch-ch. He hurt his...
Wait, speaking of... raising money. So
is that a jar?
Look, I didn't fart in it.
It's okay.
I was just, you know.
Wait. By the way, check the disclaimer in the box because I almost forgot to say that.
Please. I was driven mad by how much money this woman was making off these jars,
uh-huh.
right?
Go on.
And I said, there's got to be some money in this for the old trillionaire mindset, boys.
Uh-huh.
And what happens on every podcast that we do?
There's a lot of giggling and
fun. No. You always have to burp.
Oh.
And I figured.
Yeah.
If we could capture one of these burps, it's a real episode burp.
Uh-huh.
You're going to give it back to me and I'll say you can get in my DMs and we'll come up with a fair price for a premium Ben burp.
That sounds like a hot deal, man. You guys, we're going to NFT this and sell 10,000.
No.
No, we're not going to do that.
This is the real deal. This will come to your house and you can open it up and take a big whiff of Ben's burp.
I'll tell you exactly what it's going to smell like. It's going to smell like half a banana,
a Lara
bar.
But wait till it's a good one. Wait till it's a good one.
Oh, no, I know. I'm going to have it at the ready. I just spilled water on myself. It's my first time drinking.
It's going to be a spontaneous burp.
Ah, boy, that liquid death sure.
At least these, you know, if there's going to be burps on every episode, we might as well.
Might as well monetize them. Yeah. Well, you could be the lucky owner of a Ben burp. Did you know, by the way, that this is a Kerr jar, but Ball, the brand, the company that makes the other jars, is a publicly traded company. Ticker symbol BLL.
How are they doing?
I have no fucking idea. But anywho.
We should tell people it is Friday now. Do not be alarmed. Oh, look at that. Ball.
What's their market cap? Scroll down just a little bit. Market cap is $29 billion.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. They do $11.78 billion in revenues,
you
and they were
why?
Founded in 1880.
They got a fucking monopoly on the jar.
No, they don't. They got Kerr right here, unless they own
no
Kerr,
No one
too.
Buys Kerr except for me.
Fuck
that's old.
Me. Look at that.
Headquartered in Broomfield, Colorado.
Oh, well, subsidiaries, Ball Aerospace and Technologies. Huh. So they may maybe do some shit like that.
Okay, so we got to tell everyone it's Friday right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's not Monday. We're trying something out.
Yes.
We explained it last week. We usually do them. We record on Thursdays, and they come out on Mondays.
Yes.
And we want them to come out closer to the day we're talking.
Yes.
So we're trying to get them out on Fridays.
Yes.
And if people hate it, we'll go back.
And if people like it, we'll stay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're trying a new thing here. Because one of the complaints that we had gotten before was that by the time the episode comes out, the news, whatever we're talking about that week, may be a little stale.
You know what the worst part was? Literally, every time, without fail, every time we mentioned Elon Musk, he would do something, we would talk about it, and then over the weekend, he would do another dumb thing.
Yeah, well, because he's a shit heel.
So, it's Friday.
We got a lot of comments from you guys about the student loan episode and wanted to express our gratitude for sharing your stories and your frustrations because it is a frustrating thing. Some of you have loans that are now higher than the amount that you initially borrowed because of outrageous interest payments and whatnot.
Oh yeah, there was a really good one too. I mean, because some people were talking about what the this pause over the pandemic has meant for them, and I think there was one guy who was like, "I was able to save up enough money to move out of my parents' house, like just from not paying these."
That's huge.
Yeah,
and that's all they owe that to us.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Yeah, man, what's he doing now? Writing a book?
You know, kneecapping popular Democratic movements.
Oh yeah, and podcasting with Bruce Springy.
Two, you know, just fucking boomers who are so popular calling themselves
Jesus.
Renegades.
That's the name of the podcast, right? Renegades? Jesus H. Oh yeah, we had some comments from the Graham Stephan episode. There's one guy, Tyler Church, says, "Guys, please don't think we hated you for the Graham episode. This podcast absolutely slaps. It was just a severely different vibe between both of you. This episode very strongly brought back the chill vibe, and Emil actually got to talk, unlike the last one. We love you both." He's, of course, referring to episode 15 that just posted this week. Tyler, thank you very much. That's a very sweet thing of you to say. Yeah, the vibe was different because we had a guest who was much better than us and wealthier, so we had to treat him.
Well, you guys don't understand what happened thusly. Before the show. We had to let him, it was in his rider. We had to get down on our knees and let him spit in our mouth.
Yeah.
And we did it.
I got the first spit, so it was a lot. And it was like, "Jeez, buddy. What did you eat, a banana?"
But it was like he's done it before. He said, "Give me a minute," before he did my spit, and like because mine was pretty hefty too.
Yeah, and then he asked us to leave a comment on
and to smash that like button.
And to smash that like button. Hey, if you enjoyed that spit, go ahead and smash that like button to help the spit algorithm.
But the like button is so he...
What? Go on. No, finish it. Come on. The like button is so what? Come on. This is going to be good. It better be good.
We're going to take it out anyway. I'll tell you what I was going to say.
No, just say it.
The like button was actually his asshole. He pulled down his pants and he made a...
he turned around and said, "Smash that like button."
He made a spit into his asshole and he said, "Smash that like button."
Jeez Louise, man. Yeah, and then we sat down and did the whole show. Oh, man. Oh,
that's obviously getting taken out.
Baboo. Maybe not. Maybe we can leave it in. Maybe after we listen to this back, we'll enjoy it. So before we get into the meat and bones, meat and potatoes?
Meat and potatoes.
Or in your case, beans and potatoes, because you don't eat meat. And this boy loves beans. Because we got a special episode, so stick around, because it's going to be a doozy. But we wanted to get some news out of the way. John Ossoff proposed a no Congress trading bill that hopefully, fingers crossed, goes somewhere. Doubtful. Yeah, his tweet.
"Tonight, I introduced legislation to ban members of Congress and our spouses from trading trucks. 3/4 of Americans agree."
You said trading trucks, but I'll
trading
let it,
stocks. Trading stocks. 3/4 of Americans agree. I love how he put 3/4 of Americans agree. It's very. I don't know if you saw that viral study that was like, Princeton finds that popular opinion in America actually doesn't matter to policymaking.
Sure, because they don't give a shit.
That's like, yeah, John, we want a lot of things to happen, pal. Yeah. I hope you can do it, but.
You know, and I wouldn't put it past some of these sniveling, coward politicians to find and exploit, create some loopholes like, oh, well, then they just trade out of an LLC or their kids or any number of things. Like, I'm sure they can create an S Corp or something. It's just, it's all horse shit.
It's also crazy because, you know, you don't have to run for Congress, right? No one's forcing you to run for Congress.
Yeah.
If you want to trade so bad, you could just not run for Congress.
Yeah, and also, while you're at it, pal, we appreciate what you're doing, John Ossoff. John Ossoff! Oh, fuck, I don't have my sunglasses. I was going to do the wrestler guy. Anyway, well, okay, so that bit is dead. But
I do love all the people messaging him, like, where's my $600?
Some people didn't get $600?
No, remember when because we needed Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff from Georgia to both win their Senate races. And the big push was the Democrats were like, if they get in,
we'll pay you.
We'll send you the $2,000 checks.
Oh, right.
But what they did was they sent out the $1,400 because they were like, well, you guys already got $600. And everyone was like, you promised $2,000. People are still salty about it.
The last thing, Unusual Whales from their Twitter account got a lot of coverage this week.
It's pretty similar to the insider story we covered. They broke down Congress members trading for 2021. You can scroll down and you could see they have all the members of Congress.
Not only are they trading more than ever before. Sorry to interrupt you.
Just go for it.
Not only are they trading more than ever before, but many of them beat the market. And they made, to quote the tweet here, they made numerous unusually timed trades. This Austin, what's the guy's name?
It is worth going and checking out. They do have a big list of all their unusual trades. And it's interesting to read. Nothing's going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. Let's hope something happens.
Do you know what Austin Scott, because I didn't look. What did Austin Scott, he's the number one by far. He actually beat Nancy
Pelosi.
Yeah,
he made a big trade. I can't remember what it was.
Did he trade his soul for freaking
It's a huge
information?
List.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a huge list.
It's going to take forever to find it.
Oh, good God. Wow, this is an exhaustive
list. It is. Like, people should check it out. It's really cool.
Nope. False alarm. That feels so gross. I can't imagine putting my ass up to one of these in far.
That is kind of a gross visual. I never really thought about her actually making the jars.
Like, what position do you think she did it in? Do you think she did it naked?
I think
underwear?
She did like a sitting, legs up.
Legs straight out. Stefanka, if you're out there, let us know how you tooted into those jars, you big tootie lady, tootie girl.
Ben, I gotta tell you.
What?
It's good. It feels good to talk to you. You know why?
Why?
Because there's no one fucking talk to anymore. I feel crazy. I feel like I'm on lockdown again. Everyone is sick. Everyone can't hang out.
Yeah.
They're either sick or been exposed to someone.
Yeah.
And I feel very much like early days of lockdown.
Yeah. Those early days, man.
Remember?
Oh, I remember.
You would have days where like someone would call you and you're like, dust kind of comes out. You're like, oh God, I haven't talked in so long.
Yeah. It was a weird time. That's a great transition you just made, pal, into the meat and potatoes.
I know. You don't even have to call attention to it. You can just
I want
start
to
because
I love a good transition. That was fantastic. So here we are now, which
I know we could.
We wanted to go over the COVID crash, our different, vastly different experiences of the COVID crash since it's about 2 years since the whole thing started. And we're going to do an interesting thing here where we, Emil and I, really put together a timeline here.
Well, the yes.
Was that a good enough burp? Okay, so that's captured.
Give it back.
Give it back.
If anyone wants it, DM me and we'll work something out.
Yeah, we'll donate it.
I'll have to see what the going rate is for. I won't keep the money. It'll go to a
Koala Fund.
It'll go to a Koala Fund.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. We will donate it to some kind of thing to save koalas from Gladys Berejiklian.
Those chlamydia infested guys. Well, so
but
anyway,
so. Because of how much it feels like early lockdown and how horrible it is right now, we started talking about the old days. And you have an incredible story that's very pertinent to the show.
Yeah.
My story is not... Mine's just funny because I'm like a fucking
contrast.
Deer walking around the forest waiting to get shot.
Yeah. So we put together an exhaustive timeline of the entire, like, the start of COVID... And my experience trying to short the market, you'll have to stick around to see if I actually scored. But so let's just dive right into it. January 9th, 2020, the WHO announces Stroking out here. January 9th, 2020, the WHO announces a mysterious coronavirus-related pneumonia in Wuhan, China. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 closed at an all-time high of 3275. So I'm obviously, I'm dialed in. I'm paying attention. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Reddit, and I'm on other websites.
What's going on when you're at home trading? How many monitors you got?
I just have three. I've got my laptop and an external, and then I've got my PC and an external, just a monitor.
So you're checking news, you're checking stock apps.
And there's starting to be some rumblings about some kind of crazy shit going on in China. And I, being the reactionary that I tend to be, am like, oh, I got to start shorting the market, man. Shit's going to go down, man. That's what's good. That's the trader in my head.
So in early January, you were like, you were Michael Burry.
I was starting to Michael Burry it a little bit, but it was a painful thing. So then fast forward to January 20th, the CDC says, hey, three airports in America will begin screening for coronavirus, JFK, SFO, and LAX. Now, you would think that the CDC saying, like, it's starting, at first it's all the way in China, and it's like, it feels like a distant thing that's not going to touch our shores. Therefore, that's why the S&P was probably not caring, because, hey, it's probably just another SARS thing or bird flu.
Swine flu, you name it. Before.
Yeah. but then, you know, this headline 11 days later pops up, but lo and behold, the S&P shoots past 3,300 and it goes sideways for that whole week. The next day.
Wait, but just so, like.
What?
Are these, was this like unprecedented at this time? All-time highs? Like we've never seen.
Yeah, it was all-time,
like,
I mean.
And you were like, this is finally going to turn.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, how the fuck are we chilling at all-time highs when this thing that's starting to, you know, happen in China is just being wholly ignored, because it's clearly something's going on, and it's
but
kind
for
of,
me, I did not.
Oh yeah, you well yeah. Well, and then the next day, January 21st, the CDC confirms their first COVID case in the United States, but the markets didn't give a shit. Meanwhile, I'm going fucking nuts because I'm like, okay, it's here now, and we still don't know anything about this thing. It's a mysterious illness. 2 days later, Wuhan goes under quarantine. Like 20 million people locked in their homes. And I'm going absolutely fucking bananas. Why the fuck is the market still up? I'm losing thousands of dollars, like weekly,
life
daily.
Life is good. We had Daddy Trump being like, it's like a flu. It's all
going to
disappear.
I didn't even think he was saying that yet. Things are going strong. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's happening. Meanwhile, I'm seeing videos of people collapsing in the street in China. The S&P starts to falter a little bit. It
so
looks
it
a little
start
sketchy.
To shake.
It did start to shake, and I'm betting against it.
You know what the problem was?
What?
They were still calling it the corona. No one started taking it seriously until they started calling it COVID.
Well, they were.
The coronavirus is like a bad joke that your uncle would make.
It was
like,
still called the Wuhan virus back then.
No, I remember coronavirus like back in December.
I remember being at the gym, and I took a survey. There was like this girl that I knew.
Look,
and her friend. Wait.
I know, but this is anecdotal evidence. It's a coronavirus.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But back then, this is before anybody even knew about it. I'm looking at my phone and I'm like, this shit's getting serious. And I just took a minute and I said, hey guys, there's like seven people around me. I said, hey, can I take a quick survey of you guys? Have any of you ever heard
of this? This is how Ben is, by the way. He just walks up to people
so what?
And asks these.
We're all people.
Can I take a survey of you guys real quick? And they're like, do you work with, who do you work for? And he's like, no, this is just a personal thing.
That's
I
pretty
do.
Much what I said. I was like, this is just a personal thing. Can I ask you, at the gym? And I said, you guys ever heard of this thing called the Wuhan virus? None of them had heard of it. And then I said, "I what's the word where you're like predicting the future? This is going to drive me nuts. If you know the word, put it in the comments. I just said, it's all you're going to hear about for the next 2 weeks. And I only put 2 weeks on it. Little did I know.
This is, you're such a weirdo.
It's not that weird, man.
Can I ask you a question?
You ever heard of the Wuhan virus?
It's all you'll hear about.
2 weeks. Yeah.
What was the point? You said they weren't going
to
know about
to
coronavirus.
I wanted to know personally if they had heard of it, because it was my gauge on the market.
But what about the coronavirus?
It hadn't been called that. I mean, it was that, but it wasn't referred to that on social media.
I didn't know it was the Wuhan virus. I thought that was a Trump thing.
At first, it was called the Wuhan virus.
What did he call it? Wuhan? No, Kung Flu?
Oh, God. Don't even repeat it. So stupid. It's clever, but it's stupid. It's a clever play on words. And then, okay, so then we jump to January 26th. Kobe Bryant died. And what were you doing? Walk us through what you were doing.
I mean, this is just, it's hard to explain without going in, and I don't want to.
Go into the details. Why not? We got time.
All right.
This is what the show's about.
I also feel very stupid as we're explaining, like, you're like three monitors watching the market, and like, oh my God, people are dropping dead, and I'm just being a moron. But we had this, thing. Me and Phil, my best friend, had this thing called the Beach Crew. And it all started because we're both from the East Coast, and we were in LA. No one goes to the beach in LA. It's weird. It's right there. No one goes.
Right.
So we started going every weekend. Then we would be out at parties, and people would be like, you guys were at the beach? I never go to the beach. I never think to go to the beach. And they'd be like, tell me the next time you go. So we started telling more and more people, and all these people started coming to the beach. And at one point, we had so many people who wanted to come to the beach, we started this newsletter. And people were, it got out of hand. We had all these people going to the beach every weekend. We would send out a newsletter on Wednesdays that said, here's what beach we're going to. Everyone loved it. We wrote these like...
It was fun.
Weird long... You were in the beach crew.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a joke that went too far. People were calling us the co-captains.
Yes.
And so, yeah, and then, you know...
Phil did a logo and everything.
The beach it's crew. A great logo.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. It's very fun. Because we also started extending it to, like, parties and stuff. Events.
Yeah.
It'd be like, Beach Crew's having a thing.
Yeah.
And people are itching for Beach Crew activity in the winter.
Yes.
And so we said, we'll have a Beach Crew winter formal in February. So we were planning the winter formal. And for our invitations, and we also had another element of it, was going to, it was going to be a fundraiser for Bernie Sanders.
Hmm.
So... We had our friend take some pictures of us. Well, I'll see if I can pull up the pictures. They're and we'll put them somewhere. They're
we'll put them up.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll pretend like we're looking at them right now. These promotional photos that you guys took.
Yeah, there's pictures of us in different outfits.
You and Phil.
Yeah,
and, they're great.
And then so at the party, we had a bunch of them printed out, and we would, if you bought a picture for $5, or you showed us a donation slip to Bernie Sanders for $5, we would sign the photo and you get a signed photo of us. It was insane.
I have one. I have it on display.
But so that's what I was doing. January 26th, I remember it. It was the day Kobe Bryant died. I'm literally changing into a new outfit and someone goes, holy shit, Kobe Bryant died. They crashed his helicopter.
And I was coming back from a mushroom trip in Joshua Tree and I pulled over to go pee at a gas station and I checked my phone in the bathroom of the gas station and I saw a text from my mom that just said, Kobe Bryant with a broken heart. And I was like, a broken heart emoji. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? So I went on Twitter and I see Kobe Bryant. And I was just like, oh, man, you know, I'm tired because I just done mushrooms and I was till 3 a.m. And, you know, something like that happens. You want to tell somebody. The only person was the gas station attendant, this lady in her 40s.
And you were like, let me ask you a question. You heard of Kobe Bryant?
No, I did not.
It's all you're going to be hearing about today.
Very good. No, I just said, I paid for my water and then I just went, Kobe Bryant just died. I needed to connect with someone. And she goes, no, really? And I said, yeah, Kobe Bryant. She said, really? And I said, yeah, he died in a helicopter crash. No. And then I left and I listened to the radio all the way home, the drive home. Kobe Bryant died. That was a Sunday, I believe. Anyway.
Okay. So the market, Kobe Bryant's dead. You got to understand, this was a different time.
Dead as a doornail. And
Kobe Bryant's dead. The market. How
did not care.
Market doesn't care about Kobe.
But then, so fast forward to January 31st, the WHO finally declares a global health emergency. And I was fucking ticked off because at this point, the market is starting to pay attention. And people are tuning in to hear exactly what the CDC and the WHO are saying. And they still weren't calling it a pandemic. They did not label it as such. But this was a Friday, January 31st, and the market started to drop. Things looked pretty grim.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What was your status as a trader?
I was shorting the piss out of the market and
shorting
losing.
The piss out of the market.
Yes.
When did you start doing it?
January 9th? As early as January 9th.
Holy
I would, like
shit.
Every week was just like dropping $5,000.
So at this point, for 3 weeks, you're waiting.
Oh, I'm just losing. Yeah.
Just losing.
Yeah. I was just getting my ass beat. And I've got some screenshots. They'll be coming up here. I've got some screenshots from the Discord stock chat that I'm in that I went back and dug up, showing just how fucking frustrated I was. But so that was a Friday. And then the next week, lo and behold, shocker, the market just shot right back up to all-time highs.
Is there a reason why?
I don't know, buddy, but it was frustrating. Let me tell you that. I'm getting frustrated 2 years later.
I know.
It just shot right back up. It just didn't care. And then finally, 3 days later, February 3rd, the United States finally declared a public health emergency, and the market didn't care. This is after us seeing Wuhan get locked down, like all of China gets shut down, basically. It wasn't just Wuhan. It's like we see the people dropping dead in the videos, which was, you know, it was still kind of like rumor. Who really knows? But then now, okay, we've got cases here. We've got a public health emergency. Market didn't care. It went higher. And yeah. I wrote on the notes here, this is actually good news, because that's what it felt like. It just felt like, actually, no, this is good news, because who the fuck knows? Because the market just kept going higher.
Look, life was good.
It was.
You know, we couldn't lock down at this point, because you know what? February 8th, you know what we had? The Beach Crew Winter Formal. It was very important. We couldn't lock down, okay?
Yeah. Hey, guys, we want to take a quick break to thank the sponsor of today's show. Us! It's us!
It's a bonus episode, so we are the sponsors today.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a complicated situation, but today's going to be the first one that we're releasing on a Friday, so we don't have any ads, so we're taking this opportunity to
be self-promotional, because we're bad at it.
Yeah, we bad at it. And follow us?
Yeah, we need you guys to follow us everywhere.
Yeah.
Every social you can think of.
Yeah.
LinkedIn. No. See, we're already fucking it up. Go to Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok and follow the show page.
Yeah.
It's going to be Trillionaire Pod on all of those things. Follow it.
Us personally, if you care.
Yes, follow us personally.
We'll let you figure out what our handles are.
Mine's Emil DeRosa. I'm sure you can find Ben.
I don't know what mine is.
And then once you've followed us, we also need you to like the video.
Yeah, do that.
Like the video if you're watching. Comment as well, too. But only nice comments.
Yeah.
And then if you're a listener, even if you're not a listener, if you're a video viewer too,
yeah,
we need you to go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yeah.
And leave a review. 5 stars.
Yeah. Because 5 is good. 1 is bad.
Look, we've got some people are doing it already.
Let's read some of the
comments. See if we've got any
and if
phone
you
lines.
Leave a good comment that we like, hey, buddy, this could be you. Next time.
So from...
Being talked about.
CM Gene, we've got, thanks to them, I now know how much money I missed out on when NFT started and how to defraud Target. True trillionaire mindset right there. That could be you. We've got this guy, R3Q5, 5 out of 5, would buy fart jars. And then we've got Rat City Binch. This one might be my favorite.
Rat City Binch?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I made my hustle culture obsessed father listen to this. He hasn't lost quite as much as Ben in the stock market, but he's getting there, and I thought it might be helpful to him. His review? They talk about business for 5 minutes, and then it's an hour of nonsense. The one guy, Ben, I'm assuming, won't let the other talk.
Shut up for a second.
Okay,
go on.
And they only have 1 episode a week. High praise. I love it. It's hilarious. This show makes finance accessible and entertaining in a way that I didn't think it could be. Our parents watch.
Yeah. My mom likes it. Hi, Mom.
Ben's parent watches.
My parent watches. Wait, did your dad watch the show?
Yeah.
That's cool. What does he say?
He likes it, although after when William Prezone stormed the show.
Yeah, stormed the Capitol.
I said, did you see that one? And he said, yeah. I said, did you like it? And he went, no.
He's honest. He's honest. Anyway, thanks, everybody.
So this is what I was up to. While you were freaking out watching videos of people dropping dead in China, people fucking passing out in labs, I was trying to figure out if we had enough inflatable beach balls to make the party fun.
You did. It was great.
Yeah. I didn't care at all about coronavirus. I was preparing my speech so I could give out little awards for who went to the beach the best.
Yeah, I got an award.
What was your award?
I don't remember. I think biggest dummy or something.
I know we gave out best bodyboarder, best.
Well, my nickname was Third Eye.
Oh, yeah. That it was something to do with being able to track the waves and stuff.
Yeah, because every time we would go body surf, I would see the waves coming before you guys, and you called me Third Eye. That became my nickname because I had a sixth sense about these things.
I know Maddie was pissed because she won Best Bodyboarder, and we saved it for last because, I mean, it's the best award.
Yeah.
And she's really good at bodyboarding and or body surfing, but... And so the whole time, she's listening to everyone getting awards, and she's like, I can't believe I'm not getting a fucking award.
Getting snubbed.
And then she just wins the best award of the night.
Wow. You know, I actually, so on my glossy 9x12 or 3x10, whatever the headshot was with you and Phil, you both signed it. You wrote, Dear Third Eye, and you obviously made this bit as a pun, but you said, I see a bright future with you. Little did you know.
Look at us.
Yeah, look at this. Anyway. February 12th, here we go. I'm getting increasingly pissed off because I'm short the market and it's not going down. And we got some, here's some screenshots. So the first one.
So what are these from? What are we looking at screenshots
from? This is
from
February 12th, 2020.
No. Where are these?
Oh, this is, what do you mean? Where are, this is on Discord.
Yeah. Explain, like.
Discord is a, is
no, no,
a.
No, not what Discord, like you have a Discord with who? What are you,
oh, these
who
are
you
this
messaging
is a, this is a bunch of other traders.
Okay.
Yeah.
he was about to explain Discord. Oh, so Discord. Have you ever used Slack? So it's kind of like Slack with more functionality.
Oh, I'm so pissed off at Discord, though. That's a whole other thing. I'm frustrated because I'm noticing that a bunch of S&P Friday, for that Friday, a bunch of puts, meaning bets against the market, went off. And so because a bunch of puts went off, I was expecting that the market wasn't going to go below there because usually when people bet big that it's going to go down, it doesn't go down just because that's the fucking rules. And I wrote in this in this frustrated bit here, call buyers always win, put buyers always lose, them's the rules. What's the next one?
Ben is pissed. This is
I'm
February 12th.
I'm so fucking angry.
How deep are you in at this point?
I'm pretty, well.
Because you're
so
still.
For that week, I was in some Friday 3350 puts, meaning I need the
S&P. How confident were you at this point?
Very confident.
You were still confident.
But I was pissed off. But so like, this is how pissed off I was. I was sarcastically just at home angrily typing. I'm in some Friday 3350 puts at $3.60 because my favorite thing in this whole world is to lose money. And then, so this
wait,
perfect.
I gotta ask you,
what?
You're so confident that like the world economy is gonna crash,
yes,
and like COVID is gonna be a big deal.
Yes,
we're hanging out this whole. You didn't say a word to me
because we didn't have any guidelines yet. We didn't know like anything. There were no masking rules. There were
well,
no nothing.
You could have tipped me off to buy a little fucking.
That's the thing. It's like nothing was happening, and I even so I expressed my frustration by saying in Discord, Donald Trump could nuke the entire state of NYC, and we'd rally on the prospect of rebuilding.
Ben thinks that New York City is a state.
It
by
is.
The way.
Yeah. What? But that's how it was. It's like any bad headline would come up. And then because the market didn't react adversely to it and actually went up, people would say, well, the market's forward looking. And like, actually, so it felt like, yeah, an asteroid could fucking hit planet Earth and the market would rally 2% because, well, now we get to rebuild and there's going to be more jobs created. It's that fucking frustrated.
There was
frustrating.
It was a very confusing. I mean. Every day there was a new story about how much or how little we have to worry about the virus.
Yes.
I mean, but you were confident that this was coming.
Well, yeah. And then the very next day, February 13th, the numbers of infected from China were released and it was tremendous in the hundreds of thousands and the market didn't care. And so I wrote in Discord, all news is good news because that's how it felt. And then I wrote, China could be shut down for an entire year and we'd hit new highs on the prospect of them coming back in 2021, which is exactly how it fucking felt. And then I wrote, bad numbers from China? Good. Not as bad as before numbers? Good. Like, it's all, it just felt like all good news all the time. Then February 17th through the 21st, the next week, global markets begin to weaken.
So is that good for you?
It's good, but it still wasn't fucking happening. Global markets start to falter, but meanwhile, America's like, meh, meh, meh.
Hey, you can't bring us down.
Can't bring us down. And then something special happened on February 18th, which was I was alerted to, on February 18th, when GameStop was about $4.50.
Okay.
I was alerted to the unusually high short interest. And I was like, that must be false or something. And I
explain that a little bit, though. So what was going on?
So more and more people, there were rumblings about the unusual.
And more people trying to short GameStop.
Well, not more and more people trying to short, just more and more people were talking about, man, there are more shares short of GameStop than there are shares circulating.
Okay. But so this is February 18th, 2020.
Way before, months before.
Yeah, I mean, it would be so close to a year before.
No, not close to a year, several months.
Because the whole GameStop thing happened.
It was over a year. Yeah. It like lasted a while. But I remember thinking, oh, this data's got to be wrong. Because if this were the case, it would already be squeezing to high heaven, but it wasn't. Little did I know.
So you didn't get in?
I did not. But around that time also, I was growing increasingly frustrated, which seems like a stretch because I was already at my max levels of frustration because companies like Apple, the biggest fucking company in the world, started to publicly raise concerns about the growing dire situation in China. It was affecting their supply chain. It was affecting their manufacturing capabilities.
And how's the market reacting?
The market did not fucking care. Let's see. Okay, so here's my buddy UPB. He's
you down with UPB?
You would never guess what UPB stands for.
Urinary?
No.
Pract binfection.
Urinary pract binfection? He's a good buddy of mine from the chat room I'm in. It stands for uranium pinto beans. That's his nickname on there. But anyway, you see, he pointed out to me that 103% of the float was short. And I wrote, sometimes the ones that are supposed to be an easy short are the ones that squeeze the most. Mighty tempting.
Explain this percent of float thing to me.
That means that, like I said, the more shares are
short.
It's
the same thing. That's what it's the same thing as what's going on with
GameStop. The float is how many shares are freely floating that are available to buy and sell. Anyway, so that was that. And then, so on the news that Apple was saying, I wrote, I give up. Truly, I just don't understand anymore. Apple could say they're cutting estimates in half, and we'd spike on the prospect that in 5 years they'll be back up. So glad I didn't buy the 3365 calls or the 3380 calls for tomorrow, because the market just kept fucking going up at this point. And then I said, probably see futures, which is, you know, the market. Probably see futures up 10 points, then gap up and hit all-time highs tomorrow. Half the world could explode tomorrow, and futures would be up 2 points.
Ben, I had no idea you were going through this. This is February 18th.
I was getting gray hairs. I was like, it was absolutely fucking insane. And
so were you right? Did they go up?
Yeah, the market kept going up. February 19th, the next day, things are looking worse and worse, and the market just wouldn't budge. And I got more of my complaints here. I'm so unhinged.
This is February 19th.
Yeah, the next day I said, I'm honestly starting to think the market never crashes again. Why would it when everyone now knows the Fed has our back no matter what? Why sell when you can just hold on? And someone in Discord reacted with an Elon Musk emote or whatever. And then the next one I said, if you want to make money, sell me options.
So you're still not throwing in the towel?
I'm not throwing in the towel because I'm like, something's got to give.
How much money have you lost at this point?
I don't even know. Probably 20 grand, 25 grand,
shit.
I think. Yeah.
Are you worried at all?
No, because I mean, yes, but.
You must have been a little worried.
I was like this. I felt a little like Michael Burry in The Big Short. I was like, I'm right and the market is wrong. Like, this is insane. And sure enough, the next day, February 20th, hospitals in the United States started to prepare for the pandemic. The market took a little bit of a hit, but it still barely fucking moved at all-time highs. And I'm just getting crazier and crazier.
This is February 20th. Ben is absolutely losing his mind.
I said, ooh, daddy, I want you to crash the market. And then I said, where's that headline about hospitals preparing for the pandemic? What the fuck? And then I said, and that day we did have a 40-point drop in 40 minutes. And I said, it's fine. It doesn't mean anything. No, it's just, yeah, my attitude was, oh, no, the market drops? No, just buy it back up again because it doesn't fucking mean anything.
Oh, it just, it dropped but went back up?
Well, I mean, it was, yeah. And then the there's an old saying, in the market, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs get slaughtered, which means, you know, people on the upside, bulls make money, bears make money, but if you're a greedy pig, you always get slaughtered.
Right, okay.
And my name, my nickname in this Discord is Benjo. And I wrote, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs make money, Benjo loses money. That's what it felt like. It was like, wow, no matter what I fucking do.
Was anyone else in this Discord also trying to short it?
There were a few people, yeah. I think everybody had a little bit more.
But no one was shorting it as heavily as you.
No, because I mean, I honestly don't remember, but I did not think that anybody else was. But okay, so then, okay, here we go. It's starting to get real. We got a lot of, there's a lot of screen caps here, but the market started to drop on Friday, February, I believe it was Friday, February 21st. I finally, so here's the fucking crazy making thing that happened to me. I was betting against the S&P, but I also would bet against like Amazon because Amazon's a huge part of the S&P. And if one drops, if they're both going to probably drop in kind, right? So I had been betting against the likes of Amazon also. So I finally got a little bit of profit on my Amazon short. So I took the profit, which is so funny because usually I never sell. I buy options and I hold them either to profit or they go to zero, right?
Okay.
And after like a month of losing money, I finally had one little winning trade. So I sold some because I was like, all right, I'm just going to take a little bit of profit here. And it's funny because, or ironic, I don't know, because the one time I shouldn't have sold is the one time that I fucking did, you know? So I actually chronicled that a little bit here. What are the screenshots?
How much did you, are we going to find out how much you made?
Yeah, it was a pittance, but oh yeah, I sold 3 out of my 10, Amazon 2050 puts for the following week, meaning I needed Amazon to go at or below 2050. And yeah, I bought them at $3.72 and I sold them at $8.50.
It's pretty good.
And then, I started to laugh because the market was starting to look weak and I was
an absolute crazy point. Ha 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 ha. Still holding 3,300 and 3,250 puts for next Wednesday on SPY.
SPX. Yeah. And then, let's just burn through these. Oh man, there was a fucking headline that drove me fucking insane. It's taken out of context, but the quote was, though the market hasn't been complacent regarding COVID-19, this is as of February 21st, when COVID has now been like in the ethos or whatever for weeks. And it says
ethos?
Whatever the fuck.
Ether?
I don't know. Ether. Yeah. Thank you. I don't know. The public collective consciousness.
Sure.
And this, whoever this jackass commenting on the market said,
oh, I
said
wish we had his fucking name.
The market hasn't been complacent regarding COVID-19. And I wrote, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it has been the definition of complacent, says the guy who's been
What's
shorting
the definition of complacent?
Just didn't care. Just, that's complacent. I'm so complacent right now. Right? Do I have that right? All right. What was the next one? So what have I got here? Then I started to get serious. I grabbed some of the following week, 32.
Now he's getting serious.
I grabbed some puts and what else?
So for any audio listeners, Ben is on Discord and he writes me today and he's got Jim Carrey and Liar Liar screaming, losing his shit.
Yeah. And this is because I had taken profits on some of the shorts. Like, I had been losing money on shorts this whole time. And then finally, when I got a little bit of profit, I took some of it off. And it's the one time that I shouldn't have because By my estimates, as of the 21st, I had left about $50,000 in profits on the table.
Jesus.
And then I wrote, love being short for weeks, then missing most of the move by selling the day before, which is, by the way, something I never do because I never fucking sell. But I was like, I'm going to play it safe this time. I'm not going to lose any more money. And it's the one time that I shouldn't have done that.
So is there any part of you that's worried yet that it's not coming?
No, but then I followed that up with, I never cut losses, and I did yesterday. Unreal. It truly just felt like, it really felt unreal. Like, I'd been doing this for a month, and I just, but then I started it, you know, the stars started to align, and I said, call me paranoid, but it feels to me like we're on the precipice of a huge sell-off. And buddy, I was prepared. Is that the, yeah. And then by then, the CDC and the WHO said today, February 21st, to expect human-to-human coronavirus contact here in the United States. Whereas a week prior, they had said, hey, no big deal. Which was part of the crazy-making thing. Is like, it was obvious to anyone with a fucking brain what was going down. And they, yeah.
It is crazy. Like, so seeing all this happen, I'm like, was I fucking stupid? But now looking at the notes, I think maybe I was just so hyper-focused. So February 22nd, the next day, I was
Saturday.
I was in Nevada that weekend with like the Bernie Sanders campaign for the Nevada caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think throughout all of this, the only thing I was thinking about was that Bernie Sanders is going to be the president.
Yeah. You weren't thinking about anything? Why would you be thinking
about
anything
else? And I was like, we need to win Nevada. And then we did. And it was the greatest fucking day ever.
Wow. Well, then the next day, February 23rd. So there's this thing called the futures market. And that's basically, for lack of a better explanation, it's like the after hours market. So the market closes at 4 p.m. Eastern. And then there's after hours trading until 8 p.m. But then beyond that, there's just what are called the futures. And they're basically, they give you a good idea of where the market's headed, roughly. And that Sunday night when the futures market opened, they were tanking, like in a serious way. So I was very mixed because I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm about to make tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Holy shit.
But I was also scared to death because I'm like, this is tanking way more than I anticipated. This is a real problem. Like now it is finally here. And it's serious. And I don't know, like, I'm kind of scared. Like, I got to go to the store. And so I couldn't sleep that night.
This is still early. This is February 23rd.
23rd, yeah. So I was scared for, like, everything. And I remember I called my mom at, like, 2:30 in the morning. She, God bless her, has her phone on and woke up and was like, what is it? And I said, Mom, I'm a little scared.
You called your mom in the middle of the night.
Yeah, because I was freaking out.
You're going to make her worried.
Well, she was. She said, well, what should I do? And I said, you know, I think you just go to the store first thing tomorrow and just buy a bunch of stuff. She didn't do it, so I ended up doing it for her that week. And I think I loaded up a shopping cart just more full than I've ever loaded a shopping cart. And I remember people were giving me looks, and I was
Dude,
like, these poor fucking schlubs.
Dude, that is early to be doing that.
I know. I was so paranoid that I even wrote an email to my ex-girlfriend.
What?
Who I hadn't talked to in months. And I was like,
why?
You gotta just be careful. And you gotta, you know, go to the store and things are gonna get serious. And like, because I was like on a high, just like, holy shit. I know what nobody else knows. It felt like it was crazy.
Did she respond?
No.
It's great because it's so early to be sending that.
Well, yeah, but
and like,
I,
at least you were vindicated.
Oh,
but God,
yeah.
For probably 3 weeks, she'd be like, "Should I fucking like call someone and see if Ben's okay?"
Yeah, no, that was not. I don't know. She probably didn't even get the damn thing. But anyway, so then Sunday night, I was in Discord, and everybody in there was so they were so happy for me because I was about to clean up. I had loaded. I think I had like I can't remember 70,000. I want to say it was it like $70,000 worth? This math doesn't cut. I don't think this was all of my positions, but I had.
Damn, dude, you were putting that much in?
I mean, for the audio listener, I had just 5, 15, 25, 30, 42, 47. I basically had like 50 put options across the S&P, Amazon, Google, and Tesla. And that week was like, a very bittersweet thing for me because the market was crashing. Well, it was like the first big crash, then it bounced, and then I reshorted it, and then it really tanked. And I don't want to disclose. I made a lot of money, and it was.
You don't want to tell us?
No, it was weird because it was like, I mean, I didn't know the extent of it. I didn't know that like people were gonna die. I just thought, oh, this is. I was thinking supply chain before it was like a big thing.
Oh,
I was thinking, okay, China's shut down. What's going to happen when essentially the global economy is going to grind to a halt?
Holy shit.
And that's what I was prepared for.
What day are we at? So
February 23rd. I mean, the supply chain issues, oddly enough, didn't really, the effects didn't get felt until, you know, now. But what did you do? February 28th.
I got in an Uber to go on a date. And the driver asked me if I was scared about the coronavirus, and I said, no, not really.
Which is funny, because the next day, February 29th, we had the very first COVID death in the United States. And what did you do?
I went to dinner with two friends, and we were all going to split. It was a nice restaurant, so we said, let's just get a bunch of plates and split. And the waiter said one of the plates that we wanted, they didn't have. And they were like, but the sandwich is really good. And we were like, yeah, but we're splitting everything. Like, how are we going to cut this? Like, it was like a round sandwich. We're like, how are we going to cut that into three? And he's like, I don't know. You guys can figure it out. And so when it comes, it's like wrapped in one of those burger wrappers almost.
Yeah. That's how you know it's good.
We looked at each other and we were like, well, we could just take turns taking bites. We'll just keep passing. So we're just passing this thing around, and as it's going, like, it's definitely a big story at this point, but I remember joking. We were like, if we all get coronavirus, we'll just quarantine together.
That's so funny.
So that's what I was doing.
And then the next day, you went to a Bernie Sanders rally in Los Angeles.
Right.
And then,
I was going just to super spreaders only.
Oh, yeah. And then 2 days later, Super Tuesday, what did you do?
I went out on a date and made out with a stranger in a bar.
Oh, no.
Even better. Jesus Christ. I was everywhere. Super Tuesday, yeah, I went on a date and we made out. And then I went to the DSA party to watch the results of Super Tuesday.
And that same day.
It was at Verdugo Bar.
Oh, nice. Love that bar. That same day, the S&P dropped a ton, but it started to rally. That's that first kind of rally I spoke of, as Jerome Powell came in and tried to calm things down by dropping the Fed funds rate. And that was putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound at that point. So then the next week, what did you do? March 6th. Go ahead.
I made out with a stranger in a bar and we joked about giving each other coronavirus.
It's very funny. And then what did you do the next day?
The next day, I met my friends at a bar.
Uh-huh.
And we had some drinks, and then we went to a bowling alley. It was like we found the grossest bowling alley in Los Angeles to go to. And then we went to do karaoke.
It's like you were...
It was like we were trying to get COVID.
Yeah. And then this is my favorite note of yours. On March 9th, 2 days later...
This was a Monday, right. So, yeah. So after that weekend of going to bars and bowling and karaoke, I felt... sick, but...
No, not only that, you said you felt super sick.
I felt super sick.
And you went to the gym.
I went to the gym anyway. But at this point, I hope that doesn't make me seem like a bad guy. I have no idea.
We didn't know.
I have no idea if it was COVID. I have no idea what
of course you don't.
But...
Well, that was a black Monday for the markets when the S&P dropped 7.5% or 225 points. And I was short, so that felt really, really good for me. What did you do the next day?
I canceled a date because I felt sick.
Good for you.
I was being responsible. Then the next day I had a virtual appointment to see if it was actually COVID. And they were just like, yeah, we don't have tests. What are you And I was like, oh, fuck. And so I just dealt with it. And then that night, Tommy Hanks,
man.
Announces he has COVID.
Got
COVID.
And the
NBA shuts down and it all becomes real.
Yeah.
That was when it all became real.
Well, I think I would argue that the next day became really real because you canceled the last Tuck Shop comedy show in your backyard.
That was a bummer.
That was a big bummer. I remember Coachella was canceled too.
Arguably, Tuck Shop is bigger than Coachella, but...
I would agree with that. That same day, Thursday, the S&P was down 9.6% or 260 points. Trump tried to calm the markets, but it did not help. And the market, it was wild. It halted multiple times. It had a circuit breaker where, like, it drops so much that they just stop everything. Called limit down. Ooh, excuse me. Oh, I burped. Well, that one's not going in the jar.
Wait, so what's going on with, like, you haven't sold off all your...
I was slowly selling off some of the options okay. that I had. I had put on new positions because all those other ones from that screenshot were February.
So, but is March 12th is when everything starts to really...
Well, that was, it was down, and then the next day... The market rallied because that's what happens during bear markets is like things will drop, but then they'll rocket back up. But then March 16th, we had another Black Monday where the S&P this time dropped 11.98% or 324 points. It was chaos. It was like this is the first time I'd lived through and traded an actual crash. I'd never seen the S&P down that much or halted that often. Like,
were you freaking out?
I wasn't because I was positioned for it. It felt great for me. I was like, holy shit, this is opportunity for me. Because not only am I getting a bunch of cash that I'm then going to be able to buy the dip on all these quality companies. I was vindicated finally, too.
Damn.
Which felt fantastic.
You had such a different experience, too, because for this point in time, I feel like everyone I know was so scared about just COVID, and you were dealing with all of your positions.
Yeah, and at that point, I felt like I had learned enough about COVID to know that, like, all right, you know, for relatively healthier, younger people, it's probably not going to affect you. You just got to be careful and, like, mask up and whatnot. But also, by then, the central banks were doing everything that they could. Like, they were just literally throwing money, figuratively, because they're not literally throwing money.
They should. They should have to do it like that.
Yeah, strip club.
They should just have to throw every trillion, all the trillions of dollars.
Yeah, put it on pallets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, funny enough, on the anniversary of my dad dying, I guess, Bill Ackman.
Oh, my God.
Bill Ackman is this billionaire guy, and he's an interesting dude. Well, not really. He's just kind of milquetoast. But he went on TV, and he cried.
No way.
Yeah. Well, he like, choked up because... He's an emotional guy, but it's funny because it was later revealed that he had shorted the piss out of the market too.
He was doing it like you.
Just like me. And except he turned $27 million into $2.6
Holy
billion.
Shit.
Dollars. And then when he was going on TV spreading fear, it was kind of a mixed bag because he was saying that he was buying stuff, but he also was like, he was, spreading fear and like freaking out. And that... When a billionaire guy who carries some weight is freaking out and crying on TV, yeah. But at little did everyone know, he was actually loading the boat and buying the hell out of things.
Good to know that whenever there's a global catastrophe, there's some rich asshole just becoming a billionaire.
Cleaning up. So this is him. This is just a quick little moment of him choking up on CNBC.
I'll watch a billionaire cry.
He's not saying, you know...
Oh, my God.
He's not saying to storm the beaches at Normandy, right? He's saying, go home. Go home.
Go home.
Spend a month with your family, okay? And I know for some families that's a hardship, okay? But it's nothing.
All right.
Go.
He at the time, yeah, he was... Bill Ackman was going on and saying that what Donald Trump needs to do is just keep everybody home for 30 days. Just shut everything down except for hospitals and stores and whatnot and give everybody money. And that's what we need to do. And he likened it to like, this is our responsibility. It's not like he's asking us to storm the beaches at Normandy. It's just stay home. And he made an emotional plea for it. Because he also then revealed that his father was very vulnerable and he had already been quarantining for like a month. So it's funny that... I was on the same one-track mind as this billionaire, and, where's the credit that I get?
Well, you didn't try to tell anyone.
Yeah, because he probably knew that nobody would listen. But
I would have listened to you.
Then shit started to turn around. March 23rd, the low was officially put in, and the market rallied from 2,200 in the S&P to 2,600 in just a couple days. The Fed stepped in, lowered the rates to zero. It's funny. Oh my God, looking back at this, holy shit. They had their quote unquote dual mandate. This is like their guidelines of 2% inflation and maximum employment. And now we're sitting at like 7% inflation. So kind of ran a little bit hot. Around this time, you know, Congress approved their $500 billion in corporate loans. There was all sorts of restrictions. April 20th, oil went negative. You remember that? That was fun. Around that time, the market started to just really rally. And that's when you had dipshits like Dave Portnoy.
Have you still not sold off all your positions yet?
Oh, no. I had sold all my...
Oh, so you made your big...
I made my big money. I bought the dip. I bought a bunch of quality shit at low, low prices. Damn. But like one of them was car. Remember I told you I bought like several thousand shares of car? But then I sold it like almost right away because I thought that we were going to maybe have a double dip. We never double dipped. And then, yeah, we had everybody gambling with their stimulus checks and everybody thinking themselves as day traders. And stocks only go up and Dave Portnoy starting his stupid shit. God, that guy's such a douche. And then, you know, unemployment was above 15%. And that's when we had Tesla and Zoom and Moderna and Amazon and Facebook and Google and Shopify and Chewy, you name it. Anything that even closely related to, hey, are people going to use this more now that they're staying at home? Just absolutely rocketed. And that's why Jeff Bezos' wealth nearly doubled. And yet Amazon hardly gave anybody a pay boost.
Got hero pay.
Oh, right. They got like a sandwich or something, right?
For a little bit it was like $2 an hour, but it expired. It's like, it didn't last.
And so that was it, man. That was the whole...
I still want to know how much... Will you tell me off camera?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you off camera.
Wow.
It's not as much as you think. It's not like millions of dollars.
No, I know.
It should have been. Like from the top to bottom and then back up, it should have been several million dollars. But I kind of...
Damn, you could have made several million?
I could have. And my goal, like I've disclosed before, my goal is to like not be a trader anymore. I don't want to do this shit forever. I want to like make enough to where that I just don't have to work again.
What's enough?
$3 million. $5 million.
Love it.
Where you just park it in dividend stocks and you get an annual income of, you know,
$200 million.
$250,000, $300,000, something like that. And it's totally doable, but... Anyway, you got to pay taxes and you got to pay for life. So it just constantly chips away. And Uncle Sam is just taking the fucking money. And Ben, we really love what you're doing, but we got to buy more bombs, man.
We're big fans here at the IRS.
We're big fans, but that F-35, it's just, we're almost there. We're almost there. It can hover.
Those F-35s aren't going to crash themselves.
Yeah, those F-35s.
Ben?
It's a real sore point for me because, baby, I love airplanes.
You do love planes. And but you like it when they fly.
I like it when they fly. I'm not a fan of the F-35. You know what I love? The F-14A Tomcat. That was a cool jet. That was my favorite one. They retired it. It was a Navy plane.
Did you see the videos of I think they're Marines or something with the jet packs?
No.
And they're going from the small boat to the big boat?
No.
They've got legit jet packs. Like,
wow.
It's wild. But that whole, you know, the meme of just like, please give us healthcare. It's just like
guys in jetpacks.
I clicked it to see if I was like, I bet the first reply is please give us healthcare, and it was.
Oh, I love that.
It's always like just watching them. It's why are you doing this?
Yeah,
and I think some military guy chimed in and was like, these guys would get absolutely smoked if they tried to fly off this.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
pick them off like no problem. Oh, man. So I don't even know. Do we even want to talk about predictions going forward or where we are now?
Oh look at
the
that.
Royal Marines. Oh, he's a British going, I'm just going to fly right here in a little boat, in a big boat. Right, it's time to hit the jetpack. Right, here we go. Oh, chaps. Oh, goodbye then. Here we go, flying. Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Oh, this is for the Queen. This is for the Queen.
How much do you think we paid?
He's listening to the Beatles. What?
How much do you think we paid a military contractor to make that stupid fucking...
Jetpack?
Yeah.
Oh, in the hundreds of millions.
Right.
Yeah. They got money. We should start a military contracting company and say that we're developing, like, I don't know, psychedelic warfare, and they just pay us to take mushrooms to research it.
What was everyone complaining about with the whole MK Ultra thing? You guys were getting free LSD. Just take the ride, baby.
Well, because then the government gaslit them and was like, you can't be doing that.
No, yeah.
Here, take some acid. Why are you doing that?
And then they were trying to figure out how to make, like,
remote viewing work.
Yeah, and, like, super soldiers, or, like, how to get truth serum. And
yeah. Can you imagine some government guy giving you LSD and then going, okay, try to imagine what's going on in Russia right now.
Well, have you ever seen the woman, they give it to her and they're asking her questions and she's just like, she's in awe. She's like, it's beautiful. The colors, everything. It's amazing.
And they're like, shut up, bitch.
They're like, shit.
Tell us where the nukes are.
This drug just rocks.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're hoping this is going to be some kind of weapon.
We're not going to torture people with this.
Yeah, not a spiritual thing.
I'm sure if you give people enough of it.
Yeah, you'd kind of manufacture your own paranoid.
Yeah. Wait, so we've come very far, but it feels like not that far at all, right? It's been almost 2 years and we're still just...
Well, the market is now at all-time highs. It's now just kind of stuck there. Now we do have inflation. It's like I said, I mean, throughout... We had inflation creeping up, and then every time the Fed talked to the people, they said they went from saying that there's not going to be that much inflation to, well, there is going to be inflation, but it's going to be, the big word was transitory, it's going to be temporary, and then now it's, there is inflation, but we're going to handle it. And every time that there's something, I'm kind of in a similar position right now where I've been kind of shorting the market here and there because it feels like, okay, we've like rocketed past where we should, I don't know, where we should be. I don't know how to say
it. All right, guys, Ben is shorting the market. I would get to the grocery store as soon as possible.
I'm not. I'm not, you know.
I got to pull up this picture of, I was so panicky. I'll look at the date. It's got to be like March 15th or something. And I'm at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
March 15th, 2020. And the guy in front of me, literally just has, I had to take a picture. It was just like two big Miller High Lifes and then just like coffee creamer and cigarettes or something. I'll find the picture.
Yeah.
It's really.
That guy rocks.
An amazing. I was like, this guy doesn't give a shit about anything that's happening.
Yeah.
Wait, can we pull the clip real quick? I sent something. I don't know if Ben's seen it. There's a guy who, you know. Look, a lot of people don't want to take this vaccine, right? They don't trust it. And so we've got this guy who has, he's figured out the latest antidote to COVID. And
this guy?
Yeah. Drink. And so he's got a little video. Huh. If you,
Well, first of all, his photo is, he's wearing a whatever kind of anti-sweat, what is that? Like Under Armour shirt with a custom label on it that says Vaccine Police.
Yeah, which I guess he's like...
He's posing...
He's anti-police, so he's saying, like, we're stopping the vaccine.
Right.
Vaccine police, I would think you're a...
Trying to help get people to take it, yeah. So
He's got a little video down at the bottom.
But he's also posing for a photo in front of his white Mustang.
Yeah, and he's
holding
got guns.
Multiple guns. He doesn't look crazy. He looks like
we could watch him for a little bit.
He's got a photo of some football players behind him. He's in a nondescript room.
We'll skip around a little bit. Let's see what he has to say.
Group, G-R-O-U-P. Okay, Dr. Group. And just had a 90-minute conversation with him, and he told me that it's very possible and probable we have the antidote. Okay.
We did it.
And the antidote is even for those that have been vaccinated. And the research he's already sent me.
Even if you already
took the vaccine. And they're going to tear me apart, but hey, they tear me apart all the time.
Right.
And I've been practicing this for 20 years.
Got a t-shirt of Nikola Tesla.
Everybody's always said I'm cray-cray, and I am, but I'm crazy like a fox, okay? And guys, when I tell you this, please, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but go do the research, okay?
Do the research.
Because this is going to just be like, there's no way. But the antidote, and I'm going to kill my credibility. But what credibility do I have anyway? So the antidote that we've seen now, and we have tons and tons of research, is urine therapy.
Urine therapy.
He's telling people to drink their own piss.
And I know.
I swear to God, go to the end. I was like, maybe it's like he does something with, it's like probably like 2 minutes in.
Let's see.
vaccine I would ever take, but this vaccine is the worst bioweapon I've ever seen. And what keeps me up all night, every night, is I don't know how to cut it off. Okay, I know how to fix almost everything, but this right here, once you inject that mRNA technology, me and my friends are like, we have no idea. And I literally just had this conversation with Dr. Grube, and I trust this man's my life with this man. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not telling anybody to drink their own urine, but I drink my own urine. I've drink my own urine for the last 23 years, and I'm still alive, and I drink bleach. Not bleach. I drink chlorine dioxide. But anyway.
Wait, you mean to tell me that this guy has been drinking his own piss for 20 years? He looks great.
I might start drinking my piss.
You know, I got to pee so bad right now, I might just try to skip the cup and just shoot straight to the source.
Piss into that cup? We'll both take a sip.
No, I couldn't fit. Buddy, I would overflow in a heartbeat.
Look, I'll tell you, Omicron is everywhere. It's probably in this room.
Well, you know where the antidote is, right?
In our fucking piss.
Yeah, it's in our piss. Which begs the question, why even have to drink it if it's already in? I don't know. He's not a medical doctor.
Why won't the WHO and CDC tell us about this? Because, why are they hiding it from us?
Because they make money. They because can't make money on the piss.
It's big piss.
Piss is free. You know who gets piss? All the piss they want? Toilets. Man, yeah, they are thirsty. Toilet. Big toilet.
Big toilet is hiding the antidote from us.
Do you ever
drink my piss? What?
Huh?
No, what did you say?
I said, do you ever feel bad for your toilet?
No, never.
I do sometimes. Sometimes it's like, man, we ask so much of these things. And they get so little from us. They're just choking down shit.
Maybe they like it.
I mean, I guess that's their function after all. But maybe they dream of bigger ambitions.
What do you think a toilet wants to do?
I don't know. Sit out on the curb and get picked up by someone.
to get more shit and piss?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody should ask one. We should take some acid. Get someone in the CIA to give us some acid and experiment with toilet communication.
The CIA is going to have us talk to toilets.
It's called Toilet Ultra.
Operation Toilet.
Toilet Ultra. All right. So we got some. What else do we have at the end here? Inflation is, you
know.
This has been a lot. We're almost to the end.
I mean,
here.
We could just. I don't want to talk about COVID more.
Yeah, me either.
The story has been crazy, and everyone is talking about Omicron, and it's horrible, but I think your story was worth it. That's
thanks.
Wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was tumultuous.
But
the good thing is that it probably took years off of my life.
Do you think so?
The stress, probably.
You know,
nah, it wasn't that stressful, but it was frustrating.
But we all got years taken off our lives, probably.
Yeah, well, about two, depending on how you live.
You know who has it the worst?
Donald Trump.
Yes, I can't stop thinking
about it. As an empath, I feel for him.
You know what's so annoying about living in LA, actually? Some of these, like, fucking insane people who are, like, very spiritual and everything. Mm-hmm. I was at a dinner, and this was way before COVID. This was, like, just when I moved to LA, actually. And I got invited to this dinner, and everyone's talking, and there was this woman who was, like, just very woo-woo. And I didn't catch the beginning of the conversation, but she was, like, you know, yes, like, and I've started to realize that, like, radical love is the answer. And I've truly been working to love everyone. I love everyone. And someone was like, you love everyone? And she was like, yes, I have even been able to find the way to love Hitler. And I was like, I hate this place. I need to.
Damn, live. Lady.
And everyone was like, for sure.
Save some crazy for the rest of us, lady. Wait, who do you feel the most bad for?
Donald Trump.
Was that really?
No.
Who?
I forget.
Sorry. I interrupted you with Donald Trump.
Oh, kids. I don't even want to get into the schools thing. But I just cannot imagine trying to be... Being a kid is so great. It must suck right now.
Oh, it sucks for so many reasons, pal. Yeah. You got to have a good brand as a kid.
I mean,
otherwise,
even just,
you're useless.
Even just going through that, like, what I haven't... really been ruminating on what pre-COVID was like, and it was just like the spontaneity of things, of just like going to parties and going to bars and going to places and not thinking about it was I'm so bummed even thinking about this.
Yeah, me too. I'm over it. I think we should just stop.
Stop COVID?
Just cut it out.
Joe Biden, we're asking you to stop COVID. We've all had enough.
Bing bong. Joe Biden. Bing bong. Should we wrap it up? There's more that we wanted to talk about, but at this point it just feels stale. Plus I got to pee and we're over an
hour. Okay, so but one more plug. We're going to do
what?
Why do you look at me like I'm a fucking psycho?
I'm like, what's the plug? I don't know anything about this.
Well, so I haven't pushed a book in a minute. It's January. It's a new year. I was going
to
recommend a book
that
people, because people are asking me, and I was going to recommend they read The Price of Peace by Zachary Carter. Great book. It's about, it's a biography of John Maynard Keynes, which probably sounds boring, but it's not. He's a fascinating dude. And it also, Ben can't read, so he gets, but it also functions as like a compelling history of modern economics. It's really great. And that leads me into the plug of me and Ben are going to be starting to put stuff into the newsletter, newsletter. So TMG is doing a newsletter that comes out every week, and you guys should all subscribe. We'll put stuff that we recommend. It'll have fun little clips from us, any kind of news from us and the rest of the TMG gang.
I got a book recommendation.
Just do it.
The Bible.
Fuck you.
The Bible.
Look at that.
TMG Studios.
Want more TMG?
TMGstudios.tv.
You just put your email in, join the list. Make sure to put them in your contacts or whatever, because it did go to spam for me, so make sure it doesn't go to spam. And you guys can get all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. If you've made it this far into the episode, we love you. We appreciate you. Be sure to lick your fingers, suck them off, smash that like button with your finger, your wet, wet finger, your clean finger, because your mouth is clean like a cat or a dog.
And all the stuff we said to do earlier in the episode.
Like
leave
it.
Us a review. Follow us on every social media thing. Comment. Mm. 5 stars everywhere. Mm. Liking. Mm.
Kill your parents.
Kill your parents.
Quit
your
job. Shit your pants. don't do that. Drink your piss.
Drink your piss. Stay safe out there, folks. Drink your piss.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.